And you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and we have a Freddie Hubbard special coming up right now.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to come down on this just a bit.
Oh, man, that was Albert Daly.
I know.
Man, that was my man. Oh, boy.
The late, great Albert Daly.
God, he left us too soon.
Yeah. And on the line, we have Mr. James Faulding. And Mr. James Faulding came to New York with Mr. Freddie Hubbard.
Oh, we got to back up on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, straighten me out.
That the first time I met Freddie was at a jam session in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 16, I was 17. I was stationed in the Army there at Fort Harrison.
Okay.
Which is right outside of Indianapolis, and I could drive back and forth, right? I lived in, in town, so I got a chance to do all my basic, and I finished all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
So one afternoon, Saturday afternoon, at a place called the Cotton Club, I heard this trumpet player up there sounding like Clifford Brown and Miles Davis, right? That was a mixture. And I would get up there, and we'd jam. Musicians would come around and jam, and I was trying to sound like Charlie Parker, of course. Right? And so we just got together and said, hey, man, look, let's get together and learn some Charlie Parker tunes. And he said, okay. So he would come over to my house, and my mother would cook dinner, and I went up to his house, his mother would cook. It was just her, and she would just cook so much food for Freddie, but she just spoiled him. And we would learn the tunes, and then we would go out to the Turf Club, where we would jam with Wes Montgomery and his brothers, Monk and Buddy and all of them, Sonny Johnson. And every Saturday afternoon, we would go out there. And Larry, I think, we went out there with us a couple of times. Larry Ridley.
Larry, okay.
And later on, that he formulated that jazz contemporary orchestra band that we played in the quintet. I don't know if you remember that,
No, I don't.
Well, anyway, I'm kind of, going fast forward and backwards here in a minute. I'm trying to fill in this little time that we got.
That's true.
And, so how I got to New York was I went to Chicago. In 57 when I got out of the Army, right?
Okay.
And Freddie went to New York and worked with Slide Hampton. And you want to talk to Slide Hampton when you get a chance, too.
I will do that.
Yeah, because what happened was that Lenny Benjamin is the fellow's name who's still alive now. He's 86.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Croton. He lives up there now. He brought Freddie from Indianapolis to the Bronx, and he stayed with him for a couple of months.
I see.
But Freddie stayed with Sly's place. When I came to New York around 59, I imagine it was.
Mm-hmm.
Around 60, I guess it was, for the first time. And Freddie was staying in Sly's building. And I got off the bus. I took Greyhound up there, and I stayed with Freddie. He had a room up there at the time. He was dating his wife, Brenda.
Uh-huh.
Then he was getting ready to marry her, and I think Larry was his best man.
Mm-hmm.
But what was, I came up to New York again. I wanted to hang out, and Freddie was always gone, and I didn't have anybody that I really knew, so I got a little nervous, so I went back to Indianapolis, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I came back again later on, probably in 61, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
And then I stayed with Freddie for, man, he had gotten married then. And
yes, he mentions his having gotten married and you're staying with him, and he said his wife asked you, said that you had to get your hat.
he told me I was in his pocket. So he told me that, but she never did say anything. I knew it was quite, uncomfortable that I was sort of imposing. I'm sure I was, I didn't have any money, no place to go.
Wow.
And Michael Ridley, Larry's brother, we came up together.
Uh-huh.
And then he stayed with Larry and his wife. They lived in Brooklyn they had an apartment there. And that's how that happened. We didn't come up here together.
Okay.
I don't want to straighten that out.
Okay. Well, I understood that you and Larry Ridley played, Larry Ridley and Freddie Hubbard played in a band in Brooklyn as well.
In Brooklyn, let's see. Well, actually, we had some gigs, but the first, when Freddie left Art Blakey mm-hmm. in 1964, I think it was,
uh-huh.
to form his own band. He put me and, Ronnie Matthews on piano,
mm-hmm.
and Joe Chambers on drums, and Eddie Kahn on bass. That was his band that he did on Breaking Point.
I see. Okay.
We did some gigs with that band.
Uh-huh.
And Larry and I went with Freddie. Well, Freddie had hired Larry on a couple of gigs in Brooklyn there, but it wasn't really a working band, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, you know, Larry was there on the scene in Indianapolis, though. That was the formative years, you know. All of us were, we formed this group called the Jazz Contemporaries.
Ah.
And Larry got the gig for us in this club called George's Bar, when you talk to him.
Oh, okay.
He can fill you in on a lot of stuff.
Excellent.
You know, coming up out of Indianapolis.
Well, you know, you actually have to come back here. This is certainly not enough time to chat you. And
yeah, Larry and I are putting together something because
of
a lot of memories. We went to grade school together.
Right. Okay.
So, have you ever talked to Larry before?
I met him. I met him at actually where I saw you first, the Slave Roots at NYU.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so what happened was that, isn't it something like the ancestors must be working, like my brother Gary Bird used to say, in Hotep. You know in Hotep?
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, that's my man.
He's
on hello for me.
He's on Wednesdays and Fridays on WBAI.
Yeah, he said the ancestors must be working because I was like, on the phone before I talked to you with Ray Appleton.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. And he's on this recording.
I know.
Yes.
That's what I said. The spirits are working.
Excellent. Excellent.
And we were talking about Freddie. He met Freddie a little later on. He was about 4 years younger than us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about this record, about Backlash.
Okay. Okay.
And he's got a lot of stories and has a good memory on Freddie too, you know.
Well, you said that you and Larry Ridley are working on something. You want to share that?
We're talking with Larry. I don't know if he's on now, but we're going to get together and have a little panel for Freddie.
Oh.
April the 19th over at the what's that? Sugar Hill in Brooklyn.
Oh my goodness, that's right near me. I'm so happy.
Oh yeah, April 19th. Put that on your calendar.
I will do that, everybody. That's April 19th, Sugar Hill Club in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's on DeKalb and Nostrand.
And I forget the other street.
It's on Nostrand, but it's on the corner of DeKalb and Nostrand, actually.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. And Keani Zawadi. Keani Zawadi is putting it together. We're going to have Lewis Hayes on drums.
Oh, wow.
I think he's got Lewis so far. He's still putting the band together.
Okay. Well, we have a little time to get it together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that was a beautiful ceremony for Freddie.
Yes, it
church
was.
At the Reverend Butcher's Church,
Abyssinian. At Abyssinian, yeah.
You know, that's where they officiated, Adam Clayton Powell officiated Charlie Parker there.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, they had his body there in the church.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. So that's a famous church.
Well, there was a lot of energy flowing through that place that day. That was beautiful.
Oh, that was beautiful. I was really, that's the first time I've ever been there.
Oh, wow.
It's so much fun. This Freddie was such a phenomenal person with that music and the arranging, and, you know.
Mm.
And he really helped me a lot. That's all I can just give him, nothing but love and remembrance of him as God bless the human being, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To share his music with all of us. He wanted to give more than anything.
Mm.
And he had so much energy, that Aries energy. I don't know if you know any Aries people.
Yes.
So they're very positive, very forceful.
This is very true. My big sister is an Aries.
Oh, your big sister is?
Yes.
Oh, my wife is Aries.
Oh, and Jean is a wonderful person.
Jean, yes, she's March 23rd.
What's okay.
What's Joyce?
My sister's April 6th.
When is yours?
Mine is October 28th.
October 28th?
Yes.
And what is that, Libra?
Scorpio.
Was Scorpio?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, we actually need to get going, but you do need to come back here. I have to have you back here.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
We certainly do, about you and your music and everything. But thank you for visiting us today, this evening.
All right, Joyce, it was a pleasure. It was, you know, an honor, and hopefully, and say hello to all. Is Bernard White still there?
He's still here. You can tell him yourself right now.
Yeah?
You can just say, hello, Bernard.
Yeah, hello, Bernard. How you doing, man? Okay. Well, it was beautiful talking to you, George.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Spaulding. You have a good evening.
Oh, you too now.
Peace.
All right, peace out.
Okay, we're going to get into this recording. That was Mr. James Spaulding, flautist, alto saxophone, Ist, who's on this recording, Backlash. We're listening to Little Sunflower in the background, which was written by Freddie Hubbard. We're listening to the end of Little Sunflower. And before that, we heard Up Jumped Spring, which was also written by Freddie Hubbard. That would be Freddie Hubbard on trumpet and flugelhorn for this recording, James Spaulding on flute and alto sax on other recordings. As mentioned, the late Albert Daly was on piano, Bob Cunningham on bass, Otis Ray Appleton on drums, and Ray Barreto on percussion. So what we're going to do now is go to the recording that was mentioned, originally recorded as part of the hip-hop, WBAI's original hip-hop takeover, the executive producer Ife Dancy. And this is also a warning for people who think that the hip-hop takeover is nothing but hip-hop. In any event, we'll get started. This was in 2006. And hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I am talking to...
I'm Freddie Hubbard.
Freddie Hubbard.
Trumpet player, composer. I can play a little piano. I play French horn. I got a scholarship on French horn. I play E-flat mellophone, play the tuba, play the sousaphone, mellophone. I played E-flat upright horn.
First, let's go back to where you started, when you started.
Well, I started in Indianapolis with Wes Montgomery. Wes Montgomery was my mentor.
Right.
I played with those guys. I jammed every weekend. It was jam session time. So I would go out there and play with him. He changed keys up on me, man. I'd be practicing F, and he would play it in E because he didn't care about no keys. He didn't even know the keys. Those guys were outrageous. So I learned a lot. Just by listening, Chet Baker was the one that I played because I could turn off on his books. You know, when they played, they had them books, these flats and all them tunes.
Mm-hmm.
I sent off of the books would play along with the records.
I see.
So I until I got hip to Miles and Dizzy,
mm-hmm.
Clifford, I listened to him. Clifford Brown was, I wish I could have met that man. It was beautiful. I took his playing record and Billy Holiday's record on all my dates.
Wow.
I would go to my dates, you know, with the girls. And if they didn't want to hear that, I'd leave. You know what I mean? You don't want to hear no Billie Holiday. You don't want to hear no Clifford Brown.
You started, it says, according to this information that I have, but you, that's why I'm talking to you, because you're going to correct me. Whatever I'm looking at may be all wrong. It says that you came to New York in 1958.
58. A long time ago.
Yes.
But you know what?
But you were pretty young at that time, weren't you?
Yeah, I come to New York. I had a band in Indianapolis. I was playing when I came to New York. Me and James Spaulding, Larry Ridley, and Paul Parker, and some other cat. We was playing everybody's tunes. I'll break you, be taking stuff off of records, you know, hard silvers.
Uh-huh.
So
oh,
when
yeah.
The cats would come through town, we'd open up for them.
Oh.
Blueback and Moody and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
We would open up.
So you all came to New York?
Yeah, I brought Larry Ridley and the Spaulding in New York and let them stay with me. My wife, my first mom, she said, look, they're going to have to get their hat. The Spaulding laying up looking at TV. My wife came in and said, what is he doing? You know, get up. So I finally got rid of him. But Spaulding made one of my first ones.
Uh-huh.
Breaking Point. We used to practice every day.
Wow.
I had Monty Matthews, Joe Chambers, and Eddie Kahn. We rehearsed about 6 months. Before we got a gig. When we worked, we were tight.
Who was the first person that you played with?
Sonny Rollins brought me out here in California.
Oh, okay.
I played with everybody. No.
Yes, it says you played with Slide Hampton, J.J. Johnson, Philly Joe
Slide
Jones.
He saved me.
Mm.
I didn't have no place to stay.
Wow.
I stayed with Slide Hampton behind the Apollo Theater.
Wow.
For a year and a half.
So you went to the West Coast, played with Sonny Rollins, and then you came back to New York.
I worked with Quincy Jones for a while. I worked with J.J. Johnson. But I had a band in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
With Wayne Shorter, Pete LaRocca,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Williams on bass.
So when did you start to record?
My first record was made with Indianapolis with the Montgomery Brothers. But then I made Open Sesame, Tina Brooks. He arranged all the stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
He was on Blue Note. And
right.
Sam Jones, McCoy Tyner,
mm-hmm.
and Clifford Jarvis, Alpha Lion, told me Sam Jones would hold it down because Clifford Jarvis is wild. Cause he's ready to fly away. You know,
yeah.
We did 32 takes.
Really?
What was that? All or nothing at all. Every time we get to them eights, he couldn't play eight. I said, man, look, if you don't get it right, just I'm going to Can you imagine going through all his solos and everything, and everybody play good? We get to him, I want to play ace with him.
Uh-huh.
And he wouldn't mess up. I didn't really do that today.
Right.
32 takes.
So I'm going to backtrack, because you've mentioned your first recording. You were with Art Blakey.
Oh, man, the greatest drummer in the world.
Yes.
Art Blakey.
It's one of my favorites as well. He is my favorite drummer, definitely.
I mean, that man is like he's out in the jungle.
Mm.
I mean, it sounded like, three drummers at one time.
Wow.
I mean, Art Blakey was crazy. I mean, he could play. I mean, it sounded like he was so on top of the beat. It seemed like he was rushing.
Wow.
But he wouldn't be. He'd be playing along. He'd put that on you. He'd lock you up. No matter what. You'd be trying to play something hip, and he'd put the lock with the beat on you. Oh, but he could swing.
Mm.
Oh, boy. Because I took Lee Morgan's place.
Yes, that's what I understand.
Lee Morgan was the man.
Uh-huh.
He had Sidewinder out.
Right.
Look, everywhere I went, they said, Sidewinder. I said, man, I can't play that tune. Plus, it's a hard song.
Uh-huh.
That is one of the hardest songs for me to play.
Uh-huh.
The phrasing is so different from mine.
WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. Thank you. talk over Joe Henderson's solo here, but I have to let you know what's going on. We are now listening to Sidewinder, the title track, the Blue Note release that was in was released in 1963. Lee Morgan, Sidewinder. Lee Morgan on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Barry Harris on piano, Bob Cranshaw on bass, Billy Higgins on drums, and before that we heard Open Sesame, Freddie Hubbard, the Blue Note recording released in 1960. That was All or Nothing at All. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Tina Brooks on tenor sax, McCoy Tyner on piano, Sam Jones on bass, Clifford Jarvis on drums. Stay tuned for more conversation with Freddie Hubbard, the late, great, super genius Freddie Hubbard.
Thank you.
WBAI, New York.
When I first heard him with our break at Birdland, my first time going to hear him, he was playing so much stuff that I said, I'm going back to Indianapolis. That boy was playing that trumpet. He was playing 19 years, I'll never forget it.
What year was that?
It was 61.
And you stayed with Art Blakey for...
About 3 years.
Wow. And I understand it's sort of like the Jazz Messengers was like the school, sort of like a school of jazz.
It's one of the baddest bands. I'm a young band.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best bands that was out there.
Because
we were together. We had a balance, and we had everybody wrote arrangements. Art Blakey let everybody write something, you know, and you had a chance to record it. He took us all over the world. Each one of us, was pretty good, you know, Cedar Walton.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Mosaic. I never forget that. That's like a big band, boy. And Art Blakey take it out. Art Blakey, he would play so hard.
And you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, Sugar in My Bowl, Freddie Hubbard Music Special. My name's Joyce Jones, and we were just listening, or well, actually, we're listening to a couple of cuts from the Mosaic Blue Note recording, which was released in 1960. Well, it was recorded in 1960, and has Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Cedar Walton on piano, Jimmy Merritt on bass, and, of course, the ever-great Art Blakey on drums. And Mosaic, what we're listening to right now is Crisis. Crisis was written by Freddie Hubbard. Before that, we heard Mosaic, which is from the same release. It is the title track. And before that, we heard A Night in Tunisia. Once again, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. This lineup is Lee Morgan on trumpet. Was Lee Morgan on trumpet. Wayne Shorter, tenor sax, who has been on Sugar in My Bowl in the past, I'm proud to say. Bobby Timmons on piano, Jimmy Merritt on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. This recording, this special, for the most part, little bits changed here and there, was originally aired during the hip-hop takeover, WBAI's original hip-hop takeover, hosted, the executive producer is Ife Dancy. And don't know whether that's happening this year. Last year they did an election special. But this was my second contribution to the hip-hop takeover. And the reason why I included this particular song is because it was sampled by a group, Us Three, and the song was called Just Another Brother. And, yeah, a lot of the recordings that I focused on were on the CTI label, as you'll hear during the conversation. But we'll hear more about that later. Right now, let's continue to listen to Crisis by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And I'm talking over Freddie Hubbard solo. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. I really hate to interrupt any of these songs, but very quickly, I guess I should say that next week there will be a fundraiser here on WBAI. Ordinarily, the first Monday of the month, you would be hearing Keep Swingin', hosted by Greg Thomas. It's sort of like a Monday night has become jazz night for the most part. And the second Monday is... How can I? Oh, World of Jazz. World of Jazz with Dwight? Brewster. Oh, I'm going to have to look up his name, but I'll definitely correct it and get it back to you. The third Monday is usually me, Sugar in My Bowl, Joyce Jones. But this month there was a special, so I was granted the fourth Monday. So stay tuned for WBAI throughout the week. Throughout the month, throughout the year, and I'm guaranteed you will hear something that you like. Stay tuned. Goodness.
I listen would be so puffed up. Sometimes he would think he's got a big band up there. He's up playing so loud. Bashing. I mean, and the fire. And you get carried away. You forget that you played a trumpet. You play so hard, boy. I get carried away. My knees would start buckling. Like you have a the whole stage would be shaking. People would be hollering. I'm kind of sorry that I did that because it messed up my chops because you can't continue to play a trumpet. Went and played with him about 1 year. He said, man, I ain't gonna need that. He don't care on me. I think that lasted about a year. Miles started coming around. But Miles wanted to say, who has he got? He was a young cat down there. With. So he come down there and he heard me and he told Alpha Lyons, he said, give him a day. Get him in and make a day. Next day, he called me up. I was on Blue Note.
You were with them for quite some time.
Yeah, I was a Blue Note on and off for about 10 years. You know, I left and come back. I was in Atlantic. I was at CTI. I was in Columbia. I was in I was about every label that you can think of.
Well, I want to focus on the CTI records in a moment, but I do want to talk a little bit more about your transition from leaving the Jazz Messengers to going on your own.
Oh, wow.
What was that like?
Leaving art.
Yeah.
I hooked up. I started recording with Elton.
Mm-hmm.
That was a highlight of my life. Because playing with Elton, he played so that you just floated over what he played because his beat was so heavy.
That's Elvin Jones.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He just played and let it float. You play what you want to.
Well, you seem to really lock in with the drummers. I mean, is that something?
Yeah, I like drummers.
Oh, okay.
Drummers take me on that trip.
Uh-huh. Because
they, you know, they can either make you or break you.
Uh-huh.
Because these young boys don't know nothing about that. I mean, if you get a little drummer, they can swing and play hip, too. That's a rarity. It's a couple of cats that I like. What was that boy playing with Wayne? What's his name? Brian Blade. You play with him? But he had to be here to play with him. Wayne might go out.
Wait a minute. Are you talking to Christian McBride now?
I'm talking to you.
You were just talking to somebody.
Yeah, but he knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Christian played with me. How long were you with me, Christian? He was with me for almost 3 years. He came by to say hello. I had Javon, and Green. I had Lee Garrett. I mean, he's the baddest young boys out there. They're the leaders now. You know what I mean?
So how does it feel, based on what I'm reading anyway, when you were out there, you were, like, young?
I done forgotten more than these guys have learned. The young trumpet player.
Uh-huh.
When I made so many records, I made records all over Yugoslavia and all over in Austria and Japan.
Uh-huh.
Besides here.
Right.
With some cats that, if you heard them, you would say, Doug, they got so much technique, they can play. Hey, I had to read this stuff, too. I've had some experiences. I was hanging with them cats.
Right.
Then I went with Quincy. I made about three or four records with Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
Inventory, Quintessence, Walking in Space.
Oh, Walking in Space.
He made some money off of that. Yeah, that was his record.
Uh-huh. WBAI, New York. Thank you.
Quincy, I used to follow him.
Mm.
And I'd pick up the music at the rehearsal and after the record date.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy is one of the most beautiful cats in the world. We got caught once in Switzerland on one of those cable cars way up in the Alps, and it stopped. And we were all on there, and the thing was dangling. The car was dangling thousands of feet up in the air. I got to know everybody in the band so good then, because everybody was scared to death. I never had so much fun in my life talking to Melba List and all those cats in the band. Buddy Johnson, Bill Woods, Buddy Cabot on bass. I was playing four trumpets. You know, I haven't heard myself yet. Those cats play so loud and stuff. They were playing them high notes and all that stuff. I was sitting up there like a little baby because they were all veterans.
I was wondering, what was that like for you? I mean, did you enjoy it, or was it frustrating, or what?
No, I was glad just to be there.
Yeah.
With them, because every night I heard something different. Them guys would do something spectacular. I got the solo on Stolen Moments. That was my highlight. I'd get out there, and I wouldn't quit. But what you say, and you can play all night. But I was in the band. That was my only solo. When I got out there, I didn't quit. You know what? Because this is my shining moment. And I stood up and passed, and we were in the state. We were on the tiers and go up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the back row, and I stood up and I fell and grabbed the curtain and kept playing.
Oh, my goodness.
Brought the house down.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll never forget that. But I was scared to death. If I would have fell, I would have broke my neck. Thank you.
Okay. I have to let you know what you've been hearing. I hate to interrupt Bill Evans, but see, I had to weigh the what happened here. We're listening to Stolen Moments right now. It's from Blues in the Abstract Truth. It's on the Impulse label, released in 1961. And first soloist was Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. And then we heard Eric Dolphy on flute. Oliver Nelson was next on tenor sax. Yeah. And right now I'm speaking over Bill Evans on piano, and Roy Haynes is on drums. Who has been on Sugar in My Bowl, by the way? Anyway, this is such a... And I just couldn't, you know, talk over Oliver Nelson's solo. And, you know, I would have been hurt by two brother friends, Hank and Kaz, if I spoke over Eric Dolphy's solo. And it just wouldn't have been right to speak over Freddie Hubbard solo. So before that, we heard Dead End, and that was an example of Freddie Hubbard with an ensemble. Freddie Hubbard was on second trumpet there. We had John Frost, Marvin Stams, Snooky Young on trumpets, Jimmy Cleveland, Tony Studd, Kay Winding on trombones, George Jeffers on bass trombone, Joel Kay, Roland Kirk, Hubert Laws, Jerome Richardson on woodwinds, Toots Thielman on harmonica and guitar, Bob James was on electric piano, Eric Gale on guitar, Ray Brown electric bass, Grady Tate on drums, and goodness. That's what we have. So we're going to go back and listen to the rest of Blues in the Stolen Moments from Blues in the Blues and the Abstract Truth. This is Joyce Jones. You can email me if you'd like at sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl at gmail.com. Sugar in my bowl at gmail.com. You can give me a call here, 212-209-2900, while we listen to the rest of Freddie Hubbard. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
I was with the player.
So is that something you would suggest for most folks starting out to...
Yeah, get with a big band. At least learn how to swing with a big band.
Mm.
Play together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a chance to learn how to play with other people.
Mm. So now I want to ask you about CTI. Several of those recordings were sampled. Have you heard any of the...
I've heard Red Clay sample, and I've heard... Somebody did a thing on... what is it?
Skydive?
Skydive.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrote that for Hank Mobley.
Oh.
I wrote on the way to the record date.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
In the taxi.
Oh, wow.
George Benson ain't played the right changes yet. I said, my George and Ron Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Carter
Basis.
Made it on VPI. He must have been making all the money.
Mm.
behind me over there reading the post while we get running it down. I said, man, why don't you pick up your bass and play the song?
Uh-huh.
And he's reading the stock report.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, well, I mean, you ain't that great. But let me tell you something. I played with Paul Chambers.
Mm.
High school of his house. Now, that boy could play the bass. I mean, Ron Carter's great. But Paul Chambers, I've never heard nobody play the bass like him. He's solo.
Mm.
I mean, he played the thing like a horn. Now, the CPI, what else did they sample?
Well, there's also First Light.
First Light.
They sampled First Light was sampled, and yeah.
Where could they rap off of that? I mean, I got about 5 for the lyrics people sent me, but don't let them make no sense.
Mm.
So I got to find some. If anybody out there to hear this, you think you got some good lyrics, please send them to me.
The Beastie Boys did something on Uncle
the
Albert.
Boys.
Yes. They sampled Uncle Albert.
Uncle Albert.
It's called Professor Booty.
Professor Booty.
Yes. It's not too bad.
I know, but I see now.
You don't know any of this.
I don't get none from the music because I didn't make Uncle Albert.
Uh-huh.
But the beat, I kind of made up.
Oh, okay.
I kind of told the boy, I said, well, we have to change this tune because I didn't want to do the song anyway. I thought it was square.
Mm.
But once I got to playing it, everybody liked it.
Yes, because I know someone who he's out of Chicago. He's among other things, he's sort of like my drum instructor, my percussion instructor.
Well, how do you like Sheila E.?
Oh, I do. I'm glad she's right. I like Cindy Blackman as well.
Cindy Blackman,
yeah.
I remember her.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, I love Tony Williams so much. I should be trying to play like that, but she played pretty hard for a moment.
Yes, she does, exactly.
We recorded that record. There was only 6 of us there.
Oh.
And he took him 6 months to write. But he wrote sketches out and we played it like we was playing with Sting.
Mm.
I mean, it was one of the most. I guess that's the reason I got a Grammy for that, because everybody played knowing that he was going to add to stuff.
Mm.
So he said, don't play too much here and don't get too far out. So this stuff would fit, got to fit. You know?
Mm.
And when that record come out, let me tell you, First Light, I moved to California. Boy gave me 150 G's, and I said, boy, I ain't never had this kind of money, man.
So you moved to California from New York?
I moved to big old house up in, look at the bowl. I could hear the concert free. I left New York, but they said, man, you going out to that grass in California, boy, you coming back.
Okay, well, why don't I get started on letting you know what's happening right now. You heard before what we're listening to now, Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey from First Light. We heard before this Skydive. Skydive was released in 1972. It was on the CTI label, produced by Creed Taylor. Creed Taylor wound up being the person that I interviewed next for the hip-hop takeover. As I mentioned earlier, this exchange was originally aired in 2006 as part of the hip-hop takeover, executive producer Ife Dancy. And on Skydive, let's see, that was Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Ron Carter on bass, Billy Cobham on drums, George Benson, on guitar, Keith Garrett on piano and electric piano, Ray Barreto and Ayerto on percussion, Hubert Laws on flute, alto flute, bass flute for this release, Alan Rubin on trumpet, and Marvin Stamm also on trumpet and flugelhorn, Wayne Andre, Garnett Brown, Paul Faulis. Wayne Andre and Garnett Brown were on trombone. Paul Faulis was on bass trombone. Tony Price on tuba. Phil Bodner on flute, alto flute, bass clarinet, and piccolo on this release. George Marge on flute. alto flute, clarinet, bass clarinet. Wally Kane on bass clarinet and piccolo. And Romeo Penique, P-E-N-Q-U-E, Pinque, on flute, alto flute, clarinet, oboe, and English horn. And that was Skydive. Right now, I'm speaking over Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. It's from First Light, the Grammy-winning First Light, released in... Oh, goodness, I know this. 73? Is it 73? Oh, my. It was recorded in 71. Yeah. Okay, because there's a live cut on here from 73. It was, 71. And on it, we have, like, everybody on the planet. Let's see. We have Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. Richard Wayans on piano. George Benson on guitar. Ron Carter on bass. Jack DeJohnette on drums. Alberto Morero on percussion. Phil Krause on vibes. Wally Kane, Hubert Laws, George Marge, Romeo Penkane on flute. Very similar lineup as before. Ray Along, James Buffington on French horns, Margaret Ross on harp, David Nadine. Yeah, this is CTI, and there are like a billion and one people on violin. Let's see who we have here. Emmanuel Green, Harold Cocon, Joe Malin, George Orloff, Matthew Rodmani, Tosha Samaroff, and Irving Spice. That's all the violins. Let's go back to this song. I guess that's George Benson. This is WBAI Sugar in My Bowl Music Special. Once again, you can either give me a call here, 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900, or you can email me at sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com, sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com. This is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
I'm going to have to bring you back to the music now. I picked this information from somewhere else, and as I'm reading it, I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like it could be right. And then they get all critical and everything, like they play instruments themselves.
You know what Miles told me? He said, and you know, I thought about it. He's like, you know, they can't blame nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling you what to do and talking about how funny you sound and all this. I mean, you know, they critics.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play nothing. Yet they can tell you how good you are. I used to be with Sonny and Trey, man. Those guests didn't think nothing about no critics. It's a shame. It was a few critics that knew the music.
Yeah.
I get like that. Those guys, they had been around with them and been to the clubs with Sonny and Art. Who the other guy? Dan Marcus. Those are a few of the guys who knew, at least knew the music. And you know, people read that stuff and they believe it and they decide whether they buy the record or not.
Right.
It's so sad. They messed up so many people's careers.
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting there with this man. I remember
being Christian McBride.
Yeah, when I first heard him, I said, man, he sounds good, but he's kind of young. But he kept on developing.
Mm-hmm.
See, some cats, they don't listen to nobody. He got with Ray Brown and a couple other cats, and he developed. You know, so I can appreciate it because he wanted to learn. He wanted to know.
Right.
I mean, he can play piano. He play cats tunes and stuff.
Right.
That's what I want to hear. And I like a little hard grown,
mm-hmm.
crazy to hear. But there's only a few cats that I really respect.
Right.
Like Wenton, he can play the trumpet. Whenever I write something, I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something like it has something to do with my past or with something I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He saw that I write. I mean, except a few. Wayne Charter is bad. I mean, he didn't write two.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote 32 songs for Miles.
Wow.
Now,
really?
He got, if I just, I mean, I'm trying to think of 32. I don't remember that many, but he said, you know, I mean, Wayne don't have to work. I mean, Miles, because they meet Israel, all the Miles and stuff. 32 songs.
Wow.
I got 80 in my pumps.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how I'm living now.
Tell me about the group that you're with now. Tell me about the folks who are going to be here in New York.
I'm with David Weiss.
David Weiss is the person who set up this
exchange.
You know
what? David Weiss called me up. I was out here laying up getting ready to quit.
Mm.
And don't quit. Mm. I said, yes. And I never, I never really met him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, I got an 8-piece group, and I've got all your songs written out, arrangements on them. All you do is come in there and solo.
Wow.
And he got the gig for me. Because he had to mess up my chops. Didn't nobody want to take a chance on booking me.
Well, you're scheduled for the Blue Note in December.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to play
something.
Because I found me a mouthpiece that I can play a little bit. He's not telling me to maybe want to hear you. I said, well, let me go ahead and try to get this back together. Because what am I going to do? Lay around here like a TV? I got to be honest. I got to go back to work. You know, I got to practice. I mean, play what I can. Do the best you can.
Right.
Clark Terry sitting in a wheelchair.
Mm.
And you know I got to play.
Wow.
He can still blow. I can at least stand up.
Right.
You need to tell me I can't play.
Right.
But see, I done made all these records.
Mm-hmm.
And I played so much stuff. I played so hard. I tried to play everything I knew.
Right.
And people remember that. And say, if when I play, I can't come up to that level. I don't want to play, you know, but guess what, man, don't worry about that. Do the best you can.
Right, right.
And I think about that because I'm very egotistical about that kind of stuff. I want to sound good.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to be half-stepping because people in New York talk about you like a dog. You know, you know they're jiving. But I ain't jiving.
Now, he plays trumpet as well. Yeah.
I met him in North Texas State. I used to go to North Texas State. What's that boy's name? Bob Belden.
Mm-hmm.
They were down there. I used to go out there and take some arrangements and play with the big band and all that. And all those cats, they're good musicians, but they just don't know about that New York stuff.
Mm.
I don't play with Sonny. I don't want anybody to do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Right.
I heard Sonny Rollins play so much stuff, it makes you almost not take a train. I mean, I worked with this man. I mean, I heard him
right
when he was in his peak.
Right.
He do some stuff, man. I mean, and I had to come in behind him in solo. I said, boy, he played with a Cherokee or something. Double be passing. I can't even pat my foot, and he double it up.
Mm.
I mean, I stand there, and he played for half an hour. My feet got, my heart just dropped. But I learned so much.
Tell me something. On the subject of hip-hop, how do you feel about it?
I like hip-hop.
Okay.
You know, as long as they get some music with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like Snoop Dogg and this boy, Ice Cube and all of them. They are
good. Uh-huh.
But I can have to wire the stuff so I like a bunch of trash.
Oh.
I don't get about that. You know, I'm a nice Christian kid. I'm highly
okay.
educated. I've been around the world.
Right.
And I know they're making good money.
Right.
And, but you know what? I heard a record by Snoop Dogg. It's called 7-Up. And he's rapping and not cursing or nothing.
Mm.
But he's running down that pimp game.
Mm-hmm.
That made me like him.
Yeah.
But all the rest, a lot of the cats are too nasty.
Have you ever worked with anyone?
I did a record date with that one boy one time. What was his name? Guru. Some of the kids used to come by my house. Come on, baby. Yeah, I want to sample some of your Bruno stuff, man. Yeah, you getting it. We can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you got to hook it up now. We got to get publishing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that? Because half of the cats are not getting paid.
Right.
All they got to do is copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's hard to copyright that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not in the union, and they ain't with BMI, a lot of them. So who's going to correct?
Mm-hmm.
They write the songs, and they got to get them published. You got to get songs, writers. So it gets into a heavy business trip.
Right.
You know, but now the guys are trying to get some music with it. Guru. Donald Byrd was with him for a while.
Exactly, exactly.
So Donald Byrd, I say with Donald Byrd, because Donald Byrd's chops messed up too.
Yeah.
So he did some things with those guys. Come and keep your soul together. Kiriya Kirsten played a bass. Play the bass line. And pay me.
Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean? I love to do something like that. Now, I hear Hargrove was playing with him. Who?
Common.
Common.
Yes, he was playing with Common.
Oh, yeah. He ain't cursing not too much.
No, he's not.
Oh, wow. Hargrove has got some raisins with him. I mean, something that he's playing behind him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, see, I like that.
Okay.
I'm with it. I mean, hip-hop, look.
So should Common contact you?
Tell them to call me up.
Okay.
I got some more stuff I can drop.
Well, tell me something. One more something. So was anyone really critical of your being too young, or they just said, come on, boy, and they just taught you stuff?
No, because I was kind of arrogant.
Okay.
You know, because I knew that I could play.
Oh, okay.
I had to prove myself. I had to play with all the cats. And they always play a little bit.
You have something in common with the hip-hop community.
I like hip-hop.
Yes.
Tell them I like it.
Well, Mr. Hubbard, it
yes.
has been wonderful chatting with you and Christian McBride in the background.
No, I'm glad you came in because he knows about that stuff.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to get off this phone with you. It's been a wonderful thing, and I can't wait till you get here and so we can all see you.
Tell the hip-hop crowd I love them.
Okay.
I mean, some of them are crazy. Some of them I can get with.
Okay.
You know? But I love them and keep going because they got the newest thing happening out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They be able to hook it up and communicate with people. And they got a thing going on.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Freddie Hubbard.
And I hope that they don't leave me out.
Okay.
I love it. I mean, I play jazz. I mean, that's my thing.
Well, they already it's already being sampled, so we might as well just get with the source.
Pay me. They sampled my stuff. Pay me some money.
Right.
Hook it up.
Okay, Mr. Hubbard. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, so that was Freddie Hubbard. What we're listening to in the background is Keep Your Soul Together. We heard Freddie Hubbard. We had a conversation. Well, I had a conversation with Freddie Hubbard. With Christian McBride in the background. They were watching TV. Christian McBride had come over to visit. And yeah, it was. I think it was even nicer with Christian McBride having been there. So hey, on this recording, which is very hard to find, and I'd like to thank my best music buddy. Well, yeah, I guess I could say that. It's like hardcore Ian Horst for helping me get my hands on this. This is the title cut. Keep Your Soul Together. It's on CTI. It was released in, when was that? 1973. And, let's see who we have on here. We have Junior Cook on tenor sax. We have George Cables on keyboard. Orel Ray on guitar. And, depending on the cut, it's either Kent Brinkley or Ron Carter on bass, and Ralph Penland on drums. Also, Juno Lewis on percussion. And once again, thank you, Ian Horse. Now, if you try to find this, ooh, boy, it could be scary. There are probably like two of them on a CD somewhere, and you'll have to pay to have it. But, you know, I wanted to play, there's this one recording that Freddie Hubbard had done, Sing Me a Song of Song Me. And I think that that's probably the most political, hardcore political thing that Freddie Hubbard recorded. It was on Atlantic. It's got cuts like, what is this? Threnody for Sharon Tate. This is Combat. I Know the Crowd. What a Good Time for a Kent State, Black Soldier, And Yet There Could Be Love, and things like that. It's a recording that can be obtained. They're songs that were composed and realized by, what's his name? Ilhan, I-L-H-A-N, M-I-M-A-R-O-G-L-U, Mimaroglu. Ooh, I don't know how to pronounce this name, but it's a recording to have. So Sing Me a Song of Song Me. S-O-N-G-M-Y. And that's it for us. You've been listening to Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Joyce Jones. And, you know, Wednesday night, what is it, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Reggie Johnson will have a Freddie Hubbard special on From the Soundboard. That's at 3:30 a.m. And if you're like me, you will not be awake at that time. It will be available in the archives, as will this program. It'll probably be available tomorrow morning when you wake up. You just go to www.bai.org. Stay tuned for a broadcast of this evening's news, followed by Free Speech Radio News, a rebroadcast of Free Speech Radio News. And don't forget, next week, next Monday, will be the beginning of a WBAI fun drive. I guess that's the winter drive. Yes, it would be. The winter brr drive. And you will be calling 212-209-2950. Stay tuned. And support us. We need your help.